understand how deep this problem ran. And I think that will also help us understand, for instance, that the reluctance of great rabbinic leaders, even in the worst of times, to encourage emigration to the United States. An accusation that we hear thrown about many, many times. But again, because the United States, until our time, really proved very inhospitable to the Jewish religion, not to the Jews, but to the Jewish religion, to observance of the Jewish religion, to Torah study, etc. And therefore, almost better to undergo the discrimination and the bigotry and remain Jewish than to come into the free society and become a non-Jew. This way you only lost one world, and the other way you lost both. Now that's a very hard line to sell. And it doesn't ring comfortably in our ears either. But I bring it up only to show the type of problem that was raised, that the coming of reform raised. Now, the reform movement was very successful in Germany. Within 50 years, it is estimated that over 90% of German Jewry had forsaken their tradition. It just swept the boards. And you're talking about old, established Jewish communities that had weathered hundreds of years, literally from the time of the Crusades onward, who for 500 years had resisted everything. And they just caved in. And when the Reform movement took over the kehillot, they took over the communities. So in most communities, they allowed religious functions to remain in the hands of the Orthodox. For instance, they allowed a shrita to remain, and they had Orthodox people who took care of the shrita. Or they allowed that the cemetery, the Orthodox cemetery, should be maintained, or that the Orthodox synagogue should still be maintained, or that a mikveh should be maintained. But they did so almost as a museum piece, because they felt that there was an older element that still needed that and wanted that, and that element would die out and the whole thing would die with it. And we'll see that it is not until Hirsch in the late 1850s that there is any significant rebirth of Orthodoxy in Germany, and the rebirth is a different Orthodoxy. It is not the Orthodoxy that existed before. It's a completely different circumstance, and it was set up to provide Jews, so to speak, with the benefits of reform without losing any of their tradition. That was the genius of Hirsch. But we'll talk about that. But it took 100 years from the time of Mendelssohn till Hirsch came. And in the interim, everything went reform. Everything. An observer during the time would predict without any hesitation that there would be no Orthodox Jews left whatsoever in the world in a very short period of time, because that was the time that they lived in. Just as there was a period of time in the United States when it was also obvious that that everybody would be either conservative or reform, and that there could not be any survival of Orthodoxy. One of the great ironies, I was looking through the Tshuvas of Reb Meisher. So he began writing his Tshuvas in earnest in the very early 1950s. So they span 35 years. In the beginning of his Tshuvas, he has Tshuvas about the Orthodox minyan upstairs and the young people.